Yeah.
We were all there. Except Moomy.
Right. Except Moomy. Yeah, fuck you, Moomy.
We'll fix it in editing. We'll cut me out completely.
Cut you out completely. Come to Otakon next year, Moomy, all right? Square the fuck up. If you're a fucking man, you'll come to Otakon next year, little pussy
I'm
bitch.
Actually... anime podcast.
Right.
Are you sure? Are you sure we just spent like last however many minutes talking about
cartoons?
I didn't mean that. I meant that to be a transition, and then you guys picked it up and ran with it. I'm like, okay, I guess we're talking about this. I was like, we normally do it, we're going to talk more. All right, sure. No, yeah.
Little did you know, you stepped on a landmine.
I guess so.
I mean, I'm willing to talk about this all day, but I don't want to keep y'all for like 8 hours.
Yes, anime podcast.
The Weeb Crew anime podcast. I'm your host as always, Moomy. Joined with me, as always, is Sai of Psyotic.
No.
You're not? What are you from? Psychotic?
No. FKA no. Ghost.
I think when I was on the, I actually changed it to AKA Ghost, because if I was going to keep uploading videos, it would have been like, oh, I'm Sai, AKA Ghost, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
Wait, I thought you were, what was FKA anyway?
Formerly known as?
Twigs?
That was the problem. I just kept bringing up FKA Twigs. I'm like, fuck.
Great, that's great.
I mean, she's great.
Yeah, but this is terrible for my SEO.
Yeah. Yeah, but as you might have guessed, today we're joined by two guests. We got Shabes of Caribou Coon fame.
Alas, hello.
You gotta do the thing.
Hey, it's Shabes.
You did the thing. Yeah. Did the thing.
Say the
it
thing.
It was like 26 minutes into at least my recording. I don't know, like you guys were recording how much it's gonna be in there, but like goodness,
it's like 35. I'm at 35.
Goodness. Hey, Shabes, thank you for having me. I'm not having a good summer. I'm sorry.
And our second guest, Kamimashita of Kamimamimashita fame.
Kitsune, it's Kamimashita.
Yeah, we see. At least you got it. At least you got it right. Kept in the bag. You got it down pat.
You're supposed to
be less jaded.
Oh god. Yeah.
We've successfully reunited the podcast. Was that the first episode you did? No,
what?
Shitsune?
One that Kami did. Yeah,
We rebooted.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, there you go.
So bad.
Oh, this God. Just in.
It's just like the Philip DeFranco conversation with podcast, which also like back after 4 years or something.
Yeah, in a circle.
That was totally intentional. That's why we did all of
this. Completely intentional, yes.
Had nothing to do with the fact that y'all were all at Otakon and I was not.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what the episode's about, is us three and not Moomy went to Otakon. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
And I didn't tell anybody.
Last year.
Which I feel somewhat bad for. But, like, I guess I didn't want, I had the thought of, like, well, I don't want people, like, coming up to the just to say, I wanted to buy something. But if people recognize me, great. Yeah. So some people did recognize me.
Did you buy something?
Did I buy something?
Sai, did you buy something? Oh,
yeah, he did.
No, I bought. What the hell did I buy? Okay. I bought the Kodocho release, like both volumes of that, and then it was Cleopatra, and you guys had God of Cookery on DVD for some reason. Oh, yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they got a lot of like the old, like a lot of like random old.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wasn't gonna be like the asshole that goes up to the discotheque booth and just says hi to Shabes, takes off his tie, and then doesn't buy it.
Perfectly clear, I just didn't want to like warm or something.
Just Sai would do that.
No, I say
like, hey Shabes, and just like jump around.
No, I say that because Cheese also was there and did come up and say hi to me, but he's working at a different booth, so I don't think he bought anything. So I don't want to. I'm gonna be like, no, he was cool. It's good. No, and there was like at least two or three people that were like, "Are you Shabes?" and everything. So that was really nice. Yeah, it was.
You're just like, no, who's that?
Any people? The Venn diagram was pretty much two circles kissing each other of people that listened to this and also saw me at Otakon.
Also saw you at Otakon.
Like a perfect kiss,
or even went to Otakon. Honestly,
it's not impossible, but it looks like two circles. Thank you.
If you're listening to this and you went to Otakon this year, leave a comment, like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, engage with the video.
Leave some engagement, you fucker. Buy something, damn it.
Yeah. No, it is.
So I guess y'all are just gonna be remember burying what y'all did last weekend, because
I, you know, there isn't too much for me to say, because I was straight up like, I went down Friday morning on the train. And I got to the boot. I literally got a beeline to the con, and I had to wait outside for like 20 minutes for them to get me my industry badge. And then I went to their booth and worked there pretty much the whole rest. And then the next day, like,
you were
other things. Like, I pretty much was
you were there for work.
Yeah, I was there for work more. Or less.
And Wilson and I were there for. To dick around and do the actual.
I was there to take pictures of horse girls, which there were a fair number of, but you know,
not as many as you'd expect.
The game just kind of blew up.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting. Yeah. You know.
Maybe NYC has a couple.
Yeah.
Flying around, I saw the world, a ton of horse girls. That should be a video series. You can make the whole video series.
I saw a ton of Sakamoto cosplays. Like, I feel like that was probably like the most common. Just because that's an easy cosplay. You need like a yellow shirt, a green smock.
What are you trying to say about Otakon's attendees?
I am such a fucking boomer now. When you said Sakamoto, I was like, oh, Sakamoto Desuka? Oh, that's weird. And I was like, they meant the new fucking jump anime. Oh, no. this is not good. I am behind.
Man, I can't believe
I didn't check. That show's almost like 10 years old.
It is. It is 2016, I think. No, I think it was 16.
Yeah, that's. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because I don't like that.
Yeah. So that was like uncomfortable. That was like the most cosplayed then.
I don't know if it was the it was maybe like the most like singular character that I at least saw like walking around like the dealer's hall and artist alley.
Something I noticed is that like a lot of people were dressed as Tanjiro and no other character from Demon Slayer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I get like they couldn't the pig guy because they weren't allowed to do any bear shirt or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What are you trying to say about the Otakon?
There was like a new rule or something at the convention or something.
What are they trying to say about their clientele?
Yeah. No, but like it's funny. Like, there's other Demon Slayer characters, right?
But no one wants to be that annoying blonde kid.
I didn't see many Nezukos.
That's the thing. I was like, huh. I just like saw a whole family. Tundra, it was like a dad, the mom, and the baby were all dressed as Tanjiro. I'm like, huh?
Who's the most popular like girl character? Does it mean Nezuko?
It had to be Nezuko.
Most popular in this cosplay, or like Shinobu, or maybe that weird pink haired chick. Like
the cleavage person.
Pink haired chick.
Mitsu something.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen the
watermelon haired girl.
She's like the worst character design I think ever, honestly.
Ever?
She's got like vibrant neon pink hair with lime green tips. I'm like,
that's kind of decent. I feel like they're worse. It's like Strawburst, or not Strawburst. What the fuck? No. It's a candy that's like, you know, pink and green.
Starburst.
Yeah, Starburst. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely like a candy.
I mean, it works for candy because you want your candy to be vibrant.
Right,
and like
but like, what's
fruit.
Wrong with hair? Like, that's kind of nice. What? Like, I don't know. Maybe the shape. Maybe the shape is not the most exciting because of the bangs, I guess.
It's hard to do green hair in general for like anime. That's why there's like not a lot of like green magical girls.
Sure, but this is pink hair with green tips. That's different. It's pink hair. Oh, come
it's
on.
It's pink, like the green, lime green tips.
I can't believe I'm defending this character of a show I've not even seen before.
Show you've never seen.
Listen, all right, it's not Tobias' aesthetic sensibilities.
Unbelievable.
Well, I won't go too hard on it. We'll just leave it.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like Tanjiro cosplay. Like it's. I remember like a number of, like pre-pandemic, like a really common cosplay was just Todoroki from My Hero Academia, because it's just, oh, you just dye your hair like two color, buy a wig, and that's it. That's all you need. And for Tanjiro, it's like, oh, you need a black and green checkered jacket, and you're good. And then what's the purple slug thing from JJK? I saw a lot of people walking around with like a plush of that thing.
I wouldn't know.
Wrapped
I
around them for some reason.
Oh, it's slug thing.
No, it's oh shit, I forget what that character's name is. It's the one he's basically like the thirst trap character now.
Yeah, this guy. Like, I saw people dad. Just like there's like a people.
Oh,
yeah. Like
Tojo. Toji.
Yeah.
Toji. Yeah.
Told the fortune teller, no spoilers. I've been spoiled a little bit on JJK. a lot, actually. Well, that'll be fun to watch.
I know people hated the ending.
In hindsight. I can't wait.
Yep. Same with just there was a situation where like I knew how Attack on Titan ended, so I was just like waiting, and people like hated the ending, so I was just waiting for the anime to catch up, and then it just happened all over again. I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah,
this is fun watching.
I feel like it's not the same with the anime though, because like I think a lot of people, the anime that are invested in the anime get spoiled by the manga, because like, you saw that with Naruto
sometimes,
too.
Yeah,
right. Naruto, there was like that big meltdown. With like, oh, he gets together with who? And then like the anime happened and it wasn't as big because it's like everyone Carter.
It wasn't as big, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly,
like the same as like Attack on Titan.
I really liked that ending. I was actually pretty, because I followed some people that were defending it a lot, and I actually pretty much avoided like explicit spoilers. Like I didn't read it. I didn't go and read it or like see it spelled out or anything. I'd obviously seen Eren being kind of like an embarrassing, flandering whatever.
Edgelord.
No, not an edgelord. It's the panel with like him being like, no, I want Mikasa only for me, or like something like that.
Oh, right, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I had seen that. I'm like, huh, I wonder what happened. I was like, what is some alternate reality, like dream sequence thing? And I think the context made sense. And I was like, actually, I like this a lot. Especially the anime. Like, I think the anime added this. I know they added some things. I don't know if this is one of them, but like, I love the one shot where he's like, it's because I'm an idiot. And I'm like, yes. You made the wrong mistake.
Oh, I think people like, cause like there are like a lot of Eren stans. I think people also like hated that.
And I was
even
like,
more.
Oh, I get why people didn't like this, but I understand it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
so
great.
Like, as someone that has not, I did go to a convention, like, 2 years ago, but
really?
Someone has not.
Oh no, I remember that.
Yeah,
not,
it was
yeah.
like a local. It was kind of small.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone hasn't been in a while. I remember, like in 2012, the trend was like Kirito, like everywhere. Like everyone was fucking Kirito. Yeah. And in 2014, like everyone started doing like Survey Corps members. Like it wasn't just like a character. It was just this group, right? Because like it was very
just,
easy.
It was like the outfit more than anything.
Right. When it's a uniform, it's easy to do. It's easy for everyone or whatever.
If Tanjiro and Sakamoto are like the Kiritos, what is like the Survey Corps members now? Is there any?
No. This is an aside, but we went to a panel that was sponsoring Hiroshi Kamiya, which is like his first appearance in the U.S. at a con.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. And like, the first thing he said, well, first of all, when he introduced himself, he didn't introduce himself as like being part of Monogatari at all, which I was like incensed by, because that was like the main thing that I was excited for him.
Right,
for. But he also said that he was surprised to see that not many people were cosplaying anything from Attack on Titan. Like, he didn't see many like scouts or Survey Corps members.
No, it's so true.
Yeah,
I think it's when the anime finished, I think everyone had closure to that and closed the book, and a lot of people have gone. In a like respectful way. It doesn't feel like it's been tossed aside or anything like that. I just think it's also Attack on Titan was not part of the pandemic boom. It was ending during the pandemic boom. And I don't necessarily think it was, you know, whipped up in that like, oh, gotta binge that or something like that. Like Naruto or One Piece was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it just didn't have that different times, you know.
But is it even part of like the quote unquote like anime starter pack nowadays? You know, like if someone's just getting into anime, do you tell them to watch Attack on Titan? Because I think that you would have like 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. But like that's
Mumi,
the thing. Like, I don't think
with your younger brother.
Fucking Gigguk actually, I think, made a video this like years and years ago where there's very little like canon nowadays in terms of what you should watch or like the starter pack, quote unquote. You know, I think I think there are people like, yeah, you should see Haruhi. Yeah, you should see Fullmetal Alchemist. Yeah, you should probably see this and the other thing. But because of streaming and just like the sheer accessibility to everything, different entry points, and like there's just more accessible in terms of genres and demographics and stuff.
It's more so platform dependent. It's like, well, what's on Netflix, right? Like that's why so many like the example I always point to is Maid-sama. Like, I wouldn't expect Maid-sama to be, like, an entry-level anime. So many fucking people have seen Maid-sama because it was just on Netflix for the longest time.
Same thing with
Oron. Someone was like,
same thing with, like...
Yeah, Oron's another one, yeah.
Like, Black Butler, and
Because, like, we've kind of been... I've been talking about my brother because he's just got an anime kind of recently where, like,
we have
summer,
a perfect case study here.
Yeah, he's kind of started binging a bunch of stuff where, like, he's watched, like, 10... 15 shows a week. So like weirdly enough, he doesn't go by he goes and finds stuff on streaming sites, but he goes the canon, I guess, quote unquote, that he goes by to like try to find new stuff is Letterboxd or like IMDb. And he just goes down like the most highest rated ones. And so like Attack on Titan is his favorite anime. But then he's got like he watched Ping Pong. Hibane Renmei.
I think it's going through this list by the sounds of it. The Letterboxd quote unquote official top 250
miniseries.
Anime TV miniseries.
miniseries.
Like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and Monster. I don't know.
He has seen a lot of these. He did watch Bushishi and Lane. I don't think he's seen Tatami. But yeah, he's seen a lot of this.
I don't know how I feel about that because, yeah, you're watching a lot of good stuff and it's like critically acclaimed and well and good. But I kind of think part of the joy of watching anime is like finding your particular slop that you like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, at least in their entry point, right? You find your certain things and you hyperfixate on them, and then when you're when you're in it for long enough, like there's different phases, right? And then you kind of get into like the seasonal stuff and you're in the community a bit more. And you're kind of in like the hip stuff, but then you start tracking your own journey. Most people stop there. Most people end up like running themselves into the ground at that point. But like, if you're in it for as long as we are, you then kind of start navigating it in your own way, and be like, okay, this is just me personally. I'm like, okay, I haven't really seen that as many mecha anime as I would like to have seen. Or I haven't seen as many Magical Girls anime as much as I wish. This year, I'm going through a bunch of shoujo stuff, like shoujo romance stuff, just to fill out, you know, and make myself more of a well-rounded anime viewer, not just kind of talk out my ass because I'd seen Gurren Lagann.
You
know? See, the best
covering
part is
blind spots.
The best part is I'll perpetually feel that way, and I've probably seen more mecha and magical girls than like 99% of people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's because
when it's like you get the more you know, the less you know. Or the more you realize, the less you know.
I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that many mecha shows. And then like I go look and I'm like, wait, I've seen like every big mecha show that's not like a super robot show.
Well, you also use that My Anime List like stats site with like the badges and stuff, and just keep getting upset that you are somehow seeing less slice of life anime.
No. That is specific. I'm not that invested in the badges or achievements or whatever, right? It's like, okay, that's kind of neat, but like it annoys me because I've gotten like maxed out on the slice of life one, and I hadn't paid much attention to it. It was just kind of like in the peripheral. Because I was like, I've seen like a shit ton of slice of life. Like, I'm not really worried about it. And then like, oh, like be ranked 3. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Did they like change the like how many you need to see to get it now, because I guess so many people watch Slice of Life. Okay, that's weird. And then like I ranked up again and I went back down and I kept doing, I'm like, what is going on? And I go and look and they've like removed the Slice of Life tags on like shit like K-On.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like Nichijou is not a Slice of Life. Like, what is happening?
I gotta tell you, this is an excellent list though. The 250 on that, like the letterbox thing. Honestly, I'm really happy to see some of this shit. Because like I would have loved it. Like, this will never get on fuck. You're not gonna be see fucking Heidi as number 83 on fucking Mal. Like, no.
Oh god, no, yeah. No, this
and then
is,
go Kinjo. Go Kinjo on a Gottery right next to it. That's insane. Like, the list is honestly great.
Like, it's a very well-rounded list. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I like lists more like this than like people's personal lists and stuff like that. I like that more than aggregates. Like,
this isn't an aggregate. Like, this is their like official, like highest rated just based on users' average rating. This isn't even like a fucking in personal one. And I'm shocked.
I wonder if that's just like.
So you're glazing Letterboxd.
I am glazing that. Dude, I can't believe it.
Letterboxd has better taste than my taste, anime list.
Honestly, great taste. I don't care if FMA
are you surprised?
I don't care if FMA Brotherhood's number one. Because like that just it's like somebody that's what Brotherhood is for. That is its only useful function is to be the fill in the number one so it's not controversial at all.
I'm more okay with Brotherhood than Freeman being number one.
That's exactly right. Right. Any other one is going to be like, well, number seven. Oh, wow. Eccentric, you know.
I can forgive have, like, Orb being in the top 20.
Is it? What,
do you have like
you
Nana at number
I've heard,
nine?
I've heard amazing things about Orb.
Are you like anti-science?
Oh, no. I am anti-science.
Oh, yeah.
Are you against heliocentrism?
We have talked at length about our problems with Orb because I think me and Sai both have
I won't indulge. I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually looking forward to seeing it, but I'm more interested because Iwasawa, I forget his first name. The author is
Kenji.
Shinji Iwasawa.
Kenji Iwasawa.
Kenji Iwasawa is doing the movie for 100 Meters, which is the other manga by this guy. And it looks peak, so I cannot wait.
I'm excited for that one. Yeah, that comes out like I think in October in the U.S. It's a very fast like theatrical.
Let's go!
Yeah,
remember we had to wait like a year, 2 years, 3 years.
No, because I think G Kids is doing like a really Hey, I'm not gonna complain.
No, me either.
It's really nice.
Mononoke number 24. Are you kidding me?
Like,
nuts.
My brother, and then Azumanga Daioh right after.
Yeah,
I just went and ate lunch with my brother, and he was like, "When does Mononoke get good?" I was like, "Episode one."
What do you mean get good? Oh no!
Oh
like,
god!
Oh, I'm not really. I'm like
the okay. The opening.
I mean, he's 16, so I'm like, I'm not worried about it.
That's fair.
But I'm just like, what are you asking me, bro?
I'm really happy that all three of Abe's like major, like well-known works, like not Nia, but like I like Nia, but Nia
is a weird one.
But Lane, Hibane Renmei, and Technolize are all in the top 50. That's wild.
Yeah, he really likes Hibane Renmei. That's a weird thing.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
He's like number two or three on his. I'm like, oh cool. All right.
Yeah, cool.
I'll take all it.
Right. Yeah.
Have like three major Yuasa works.
Dude, 03 is on this list. Like, it's actually
Let's go.
That's crazy. No, I really like this list. Anyway, sorry to get
this. Yeah, this is,
but the funny thing is, I don't see LGH. I think it's because maybe it's an OVA and it does. No, Golden Boy's on here.
No, yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's
not a like, miniseries.
I guess it's not a miniseries if it's less than 100.
Yeah, I guess. But like Monster, yeah. It's funny. It's just funny. It was like miniseries Monster. Like that's not a miniseries.
Not allowed. Anime films, shorts, and OVAs.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Hunter Hunter's not on here. So
no,
I
they were saying
that
like OVAs, OVAs that are extensions of other shows, and then like Golden Boy is on here.
Okay.
And Eighth MS Team, I'm pretty sure, as well. Got War in the Pocket as well. What the fuck is that, Princess Sarah? Oh my God, Princess Sarah.
Wait, where?
Number 132, the World Masterpiece Theater
132.
Show.
132.
That's a banger poster, actually. I've never seen that for Princess Sarah. That looks great.
That it also helps. Yeah, all the poster selections here are good. Yeah. They do a good job at selling the show.
They actually
unlike
do.
My anime
unlike
list.
Mal, yeah. No, for sure.
Oh, yeah, Romeo's Blue Sky.
Yeah.
Right next to Sherlock Hound.
I'm actually shocked Shogunroku Raku Shinju is as low as it is. 165. I'm happy it's on here, but like, wow.
That is lower than I would expect. Yeah.
Oh. Benicoil's on here?
Right. Tom Sawyer? No. Okay. That's.
I wonder how much of that is like because it's. There are a lot of like Europe. Like European users or something, because like a lot of these would have been in Europe.
Oh yeah,
okay, but like Moomin 1969 is on here.
That's
and not the 90s one that everyone actually likes.
Yeah,
like Moomin 69, I actually don't think it's fully available like online. I don't know if it's been
maybe
like,
they just don't know.
It's definitely not subbed, but
maybe they it could be Japanese. Like it's a big thing in Japan, right? It's like their childhood.
Something yeah. Mixed up.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me see what's it actually say the rating is.
Oh, with the
okay.
Rating
wow.
For that
Letterboxd
one?
Is being really slow 3.8. For me.
Hmm. Yeah, I would guess like people just don't know the different. Like there's like oh I watched
oh, maybe
the
this
yeah.
This one review literally says using this for the 90s version. So is the 90s okay. Version like not available?
Why
some
would it
reason?
Not maybe. Be on Letterboxd?
They have Nobody's Girl Remy.
Yeah.
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 Above Nobody's Boy.
No,
Remy.
Nobody's Boy Remy's not. Wait, on here. No, yeah, like the Dazaki one.
246, is it not?
It's 246.
Oh, it is.
It's like
oh.
The last line.
Nobody's
oh
Boy
my
Remy.
Oh god, it's below.
Oh my god, why
Nobody's
is Nobody's Girl Remy?
Girl Remy
higher?
What's going on here? Okay, that's, I like the list. Yeah, all right, now I have some questions.
It's a good one. It's a good
Hello
like it's a good balance list.
From 09, but not Akagi no Anne. Like Akagi no Anne is probably somewhere else.
No,
no, no. It was like it was
Akagi no Anne is towards
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, it was probably was earlier. 40. It was probably earlier or something. Yeah. Honestly, Gengar and Agoroboshi Gen.
Malastal? Who the fuck? Why is it Malastal at 215? Holy fucking shit!
Hey,
next to Hyoge Mono and Akagi.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Akagi's on here. Was Kaiji?
Akagi's on here. Cross Game.
That's weird.
I just like seeing Princess Jellyfish Barakamon, Ergo Proxy, Yokohama Shopping Log, 86, Given, and Fruits Basket all in just like this little contained area together.
Right, right. That was what I was looking at. I'm like, actually kind of good taste. Like, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm digging it.
I've never seen... Never seen the Saki.
No, Ashino Joe.
A reawakened poster of him doing the Last Supper.
Yeah. No, Ashino Joe is. Ashino Joe may not be on Letterboxd.
Why?
Huh? That's a
how?
Fantastic question.
It's so straight. It'd be so strange. I don't know why. Update in celebration of End of Eva staying in the top 250 narrative films. Oh, gone? It's like comments
in
the
bottom. It only has the like the Ashino Joe movies on Letterboxd for some reason.
I guess they've been like.
I don't know. Letterboxd is really weird in terms of like.
Yeah, is Takapina on here?
It might be too new. Like, I don't think it's like updated automatically. I think it's done manually.
Whoa! Wait a minute. There was an update from 5 months ago that they took off Psycho Armor Govarian. Psycho Armor Govarian was on this fucking list.
That's the
mecha show from the 80s. Where I talked about it, like it has a hand in the in one of the shots, like you know, like a they were moving the cells and like they accidentally took a photo in the middle of it, and
oh.
Like there's like a gloved hand in the shot, like a real hand. But
top 250, baby, let's
yeah,
go.
Like, I guess it was at one point they took it off. I'm like, what the hell are they? What the heck is going on?
And then what, alongside Tonkatsu DJ Agetaro, Cyber City, Await, and After the Rain. All right.
That's strange. Oh, this summer is stacked just to mention a few, like Takapi. Yeah, they haven't put on Takapi City, Aru, Panty, and Takapi. Yeah, they just haven't done any from the new season.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother was like, oh, Takapi's like, it was like the top rated. And then he's like, oh, it dropped like 0.3 on Letterboxd or something.
Right. I believe it. Yeah, great show, that one. That's one I've actually seen. Because, you know,
oh,
I was happy to see
that. How'd you like it?
I loved it because, it was a 2-volume adaptation. So it was only going to be 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'll watch that. I'm not going to get dragged around for fucking 12 episodes, but 6? Sure. It was phenomenal.
It's like the perfect length, too. Yeah.
I kicked around the idea of, like, making a video on it. Because, like, we were just talking about some of, like, small stuff that happened, like, that you use.
Yeah.
In like the storytelling, whatever. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of like a good video just to throw out there pretty quick. And then I end up So I went to Otakon, I went to the coast, and I didn't have internet when I came back, and I've been fighting my internet ever since. So I'm just like, fuck it. I'm not
gonna fuck with it.
Never mind.
So your Wi-Fi is down right now?
Yeah, I'm on my phone.
That's fuck.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm looking at the person who made this list, their letterbox. They have a review for Challengers, and it's just, if Masaaki Uwasa's Ping Pong the Animation was distributed by Shonen Jump in an alternate universe where they make live action films.
What the fuck?
What? I don't know.
Cool, I guess. I have been meaning to see Challenger.
I guess.
Yeah, Otakon!
There's live action
great.
Otakon?
Otakon!
See, yeah. Y'all can't even say talking about Otakon. Like, what?
It's so true.
Like, oh, you're just gonna see it.
No, we just feel bad back for you. We don't want you to. We want you to talk.
We want you to continue doing the conversation.
Thanks for keeping me involved, guys.
Yeah, no, totally. Now you can sit down. Let the real men talk about the fun, the time at Otakon.
I had a lot of fun. I was honestly just drinking the entire, I brought my flask in full of whiskey. Mm-hmm. So I was just like perpetually buzzed.
Happen to see the home video museum? I could be a bit butchered.
That was really cool.
Oh, I didn't get to see that. Can you explain it?
Yes.
Can you describe it?
It was a single room that was open the entire time. It's not like a panel or anything. And honestly, even just that novelty, I'm like, I think they should try to do more of those.
I think
like instead of ones that are timing and the boot rooms or whatever, something that's kind of set up and shown throughout the convention that you kind of walk in and out of. It's like a museum. It literally was a museum. You kind of
exhibit.
Yeah, it's a square room, is a smaller room, but like you start like the left side, and they had pretty much every single format that anime has ever been released on. Including 8mm, like small cassettes before they had VHS, everything.
That's kind of cool.
Everything. And I took at least one photo.
Yeah, I know they had like a QR code to like donate or find out more information like on like a poster outside. I probably should have taken a picture of it because, it is really.
Did they have
really
any
cool
like
thing.
On TVs playing so you can see the quality of them or anything?
Yes, they did have multiple displays as well.
That's cool.
Now, obviously, the ones that are like too old that we probably don't want to actually run, and because I think my boss said like the one thing they were missing was like a film, like a projector, to like run some of the old reels on. You wouldn't run any anime on there, but just to show it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I took one photo at least because this is like the very edge of like the first part of it. This is the earliest possible. Like Super 8 in 1965. So like they had released Moomin and
Heidi,
B movie,
Rocky Chuck. Yeah. no, but yeah, and then you go through the entire thing, and then they had some really nice posters, like a kind of vintage poster of Warriors of the Wind, and of Robot Carnival, and some other things. But it really was like, oh yeah, they know their shit, and it wasn't simply like the choices of title too was always really interesting, like having like certain things. They had Paranoia Agent playing on like a PSP, like playing in real time and like in a display case or whatever. And,
like that's the UMD format.
I guess so. I don't remember that. I'm not a nerd for this stuff. Like my coworkers are.
do they have Dragon Ball Z playing on the Game Boy Video?
I don't know about that, but they probably had something playing on the Game Boy Video. I think they had that one. They like everything they pretty much had. They even
I don't think there was many anime on there, but
they even had one of like, I guess there was two anime that were made for this like 3D experiment where it was like a laser disc of some kind, but then you had a headset, and if you didn't wear the headset, the screen was literally just like flickering back and forth, like doing some kind of strobing, like a panoramic effect or something. But then you would put the headset on and it would look like 3D, I guess. I didn't put it on myself. We just watched the strobing. and fucking, they even had in a like locked display case, like very fair, an actual copy of Daikon 4.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've seen, because like when I was in Japan, they were doing an auction at Mandarake for stuff. and I almost wanted to, I didn't know about it in time for us to be able to go, but yeah. I saw like they had a copy of Daikon 4 on auction, and I was like, fuck, I would go try to see if I could win that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean you wouldn't, but no. It's a bold attempt here. In the description I'll put like a link. We'll put like a link that you can like donate to support it, because it is a really cool thing that they have. Just a really
donate
great
to the
video with Daikon 4.
Do they do other cons, or is that just an Otakon thing?
I don't know.
I don't remember seeing it last year.
I would hope they do multiple cons. But yeah, I have the guy's business card and everything.
So he did a phenomenal job. How many panels are like actually? Because the last conventions I went to, the most recent one had like, I would say it's like 50-50 split between like games and like fighting game tournament stuff.
Right.
And like anime, but it was all like I remember there was a panel like top best video game of all time or discussion or something. And then like the anime ones are just like see a voice actor or something that was there who, I mean, you're in DFW, so it's always like Funimation people, or like anime trivia or something. And there's never really like super interesting panels to me. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Like that's why I stopped going to them, because like I remember back in like even 2012, like half the convention turned into just quote unquote nerd culture stuff, where it was like, you know, Avatar and Doctor Who and My Little Pony, and like just not a lot of anime anymore. And like a lot of the panels that were anime adjacent were just like how to make a cosplay, which is like fine. But then like there was not any cool stuff like this going on. Like how many panels are like actually kind of stuff like this now?
So there's like industry panels at Otakon. Like they have like you know, some guys from Trigger here, like a Sushio.
So Studio Orange is basically Otakon's, like Otakon's their home now for some reason.
Yeah. Who's the producer guy? He was on Trash Taste. What's his name? Something Watanabe.
Yeah, it starts with a Y.
Yeah.
Something like
I'm
that.
Japanese.
And then
Yurichiro Watanabe.
he did two panels with Nishikiori, like, directed Azumanga Daioh and a bunch of other stuff that I cannot remember off the top of my head. So Otakon does pull some good like industry figures, and then also you have like the Anime Ego and Discotech panels, which Wilson, did you end up getting into the Discotech panel?
I did not. I step away. I like peered in from the outside for a little bit through the overflow line, and then I eventually came in after when all the people had left and met Shapes and everything, which was nice.
Yeah.
So it was great seeing you.
Definitely the smaller room than you would expect for such a popular panel.
They did give us I don't know anything, but like apparently they had given us a smaller room than last year.
I do remember being smaller than last year. Even last year, though, it was really packed in a bigger room.
Yeah. Because that's really the only convention we do that for with Discotech. Animego, Justin's been doing more. Like that was the one where we announced our titles. But he has gone to other conventions, and he's going to Anime NYC. But just really doing like a general like we exist and questions and answers of like the kind of just a general Q&A type of panel. A little more activity, but really like the guys who actually, you know, own and run Discotech, they spend all their time at the booth. Like they're the ones running the booth. So they we offer, you know, the media OCD guys are the ones that offer like, yeah, we can do a panel of announcing stuff and whatever. That's been the case for about 10 years. We actually said that this year's panel was them celebrating 10 years of doing live kind of live streams or kind of Nintendo Direct, quote unquote, type of presentations like this. They started that in like 2015, and kind of went through the history a little bit. You know, this year was when we announced this big title. This was our big announcement for that year, et cetera, et cetera. This year was Monster.
Yeah. Oh, it was. I mean, that's kind of like the fun thing about like just the Discotech and Anime Ego panels in general. Like with like them announcing stuff, is it always is like because there's like hundreds of people all in one room. So
yeah,
like people are just like flipping out constantly at announcements. And the funny thing about the Monster one is I forget what it was, but I think Justin asked like, shout out what you want to see like remastered. And then we'll, when I hear it, we'll show it. I think it was Golden Boy.
Oh, right. Yeah. But it was like, Mike Tuohl saying that because he's like the MC of those things. Yeah. And he did that. Yeah. But, yeah, he does that. And then, I guess somebody did shout it out and they're like, oh, here you go. Yeah.
But I shouted out, I was like, oh, Master Keaton. And then for the rest of it, I was like, Master Keaton be cool. I wonder if we're ever going to get Monster on physical media again.
Yeah. Hell
subtle
yeah.
Subtle foreshadowing.
I mean, you know,
which I was shocked.
You were mentioning panels earlier. And I didn't go to any of them really, but I did overhear, certain panels at Otakon at least, had like issues with, generative AI in panels.
Oh,
right.
Oh, and, what?
And I guess
interesting.
I had heard about this panel from hearsay at the convention or whatever, and then saw this the tweet or whatever of just like, yeah, there's apparently a really bad Code Geass and the American Revolution panel.
Okay,
you know, like just I guess making what? Connection to the two of them or whatever. And then I guess sure. According to this or whatever, during the already mediocre panel, the host left his ChatGPT window open, which halfway through loudly announced its bullshit to the entire audience.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh. Yeah. Very funny.
And it was in the robot room. Is that Mecha KaiCon? Because that was the area of the con that they...
Oh.
They said it was...
Had, like, open to the entrance. Like, you walked in
like
and
the open
like,
salon
a
area
panel
yeah.
happening to the right.
I think they said it was the robot room, so I don't know what that is.
Hmm.
So are people just, like, using ChatGPT to write a fucking panel?
That sounds...
Is that what
doesn't,
this is?
Doesn't that sound right to you?
Yeah.
That's
I mean, the panels were...
Yeah, it's like
a decade ago, the panels
like,
were already fucking
right.
Like what?
But they're all kind of like the thing is, right? I don't think there's, I don't know if there's really any vetting process because all they do when you submit one, you don't submit the panel, you submit the title and a description of what it's going to be about, like the gist.
Yeah.
What, they,
yeah,
what you would right. put in the thing. Because I obviously understand probably the reason is, you know, they don't have the time to fully vet like what the thing is, or people are submitting it before they even make it, which makes sense and happens and whatever.
Yeah.
But now as a result, you're going to have all these guys that come up with these crazy concepts or whatever and then shit it out with ChatGPT or whatever. But the problem with that is not just that it potentially comes up with bad panels, but they then lose the spot to somebody that potentially was going to put something like, and that some actual effort into one of them, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you just feel bad. You hear about these like shitty panels and you just feel bad for the people that like wanted to submit one that would have been kind of decent, but like maybe wasn't flashy enough or had the redundancy with what they were going for. Or like, oh, we did that last year. Or we let you do a panel last year. Let's stuff like that for whatever reason they have. But like, I think that they should have, I don't have much of a say because I've literally gone to like six conventions my entire life, but like yeah you should kind of have some kind of vetting process for these things if you want them to if you want it to be good.
I imagine yeah. It's just so it's like so much work, right? It's so much time. Like imagine how many panels yeah. there are and like they all have to like fill an hour, right? So
yeah,
they're gonna be pretty long.
I'm not saying to like do it with a fine tooth comb because not to mention, like, you really can't when the person presenting the panel, like, if you just send them the PowerPoint, it's just bullet points, right? You're not going to get, right. like, the yeah. full description of what they're going to say in the panel or whatever. But even just a sniff test, or even, like, I guess there are, like AI detection tools, right?
Yeah, they're not yeah. very good, at least right now.
Yeah,
but...
it's better than nothing. You know, it's better than...
It's
better
than they don't detect it, it's
taking them at
good
face.
Enough.
Yeah. Or even, but literally just like click through it. If it's like a 20 slide thing, click through it a couple of times and be like, does this look bullshit? Like, does this yeah, seem like yeah. half-assed or anything?
Is this making up anime that don't exist as ChatGPT yeah. has a tendency to do?
Yeah, yeah. Or just whatever, right? You don't need to rigorously fact-check everything. This is just for fun.
Yeah.
But like, mm-hmm. sniff it out. It's like, is this good? It's like, you think it's like, yeah, I would want to, I would not feel embarrassed to have this at my convention.
Yeah, it's kind of a fool's errand to like try and like ban AI shit now at this point.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
Because it's just like, how are you going to prove it? Like, if they're good enough, like,
exactly.
As long as you can, if you put it in a fucking AI detector yes. and it can't detect it,
yes.
it doesn't look like complete horse shit. It's like, okay,
yeah.
whatever.
Fine. And that's why I wasn't saying I'm not saying ban AI shit, because like, you can't. You think that's very, very yeah. hard to do. But it, yeah, at the very least, look like you're taking some steps to quality check your programming
right,
of
yeah.
your convention.
Especially because they probably get so many like panel submissions every year. And it's like, really? This is the one that made it through the vetting process.
What were some of the best?
I don't really
panels?
Go
like,
to
outside
those...
of the one we've already talked about.
So I don't really go to those kinds of panels anymore. I just go to like the industry ones where it has like, you know, people from like the anime industry mm-hmm. talking about stuff.
Right.
Were you in that Takarazuka? Takarazuka
yeah.
review panel? That was really good. It was really detailed. A lot of nice, neat like, trivia and like cultural aspects of like how popular it is in Japan, the kind of like controversy with like, is this really promoting lesbian relationships or et cetera, et cetera.
I did catch a bit of a it was like a history of Yuri panel, but told through like AMVs, which was cool.
Wait, like old AMV, like they went and found like older AMVs and like does like a vertical slice of each year or something.
I only got in like halfway through, so I didn't see all of it. They may have had some like early stuff there.
That'd be
interesting. But it was, like, I think like they had like some like stuff from like the mid 2000s. Like this is an interesting way to talk about this. And then yeah, I didn't actually end up going to the AMV theater like all the way through this year, cuz I was just like too busy with like a bunch of other stuff. But I usually try to go to that every year, and it's always like a massively packed event in like one of the biggest rooms at the con, which is very surprising to me. I wouldn't think that an AMV contest would pull that big of a crowd, but it does.
And people love AMVs.
People like AMVs, yeah. Especially seeing them in a packed room with like 1,000+ people in it.
I've gotten very discouraged from probably making AMVs in general, because I've submitted two of my AMVs panels and the contest, and they don't get picked.
Oh yeah, I'm always very bitter about that too.
Well, like one of them because I was trying to sneak in one that, like, you know, I had made a year ago, I'd already posted publicly, and they, you know, they have a rule about that. So I'm like, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
But then the other one I made, you know, completely new, and it didn't get picked up, and then I just had the confidence issues.
No, I mean, your Akari Kano one is like one of my favorites. Like, whenever I hear the word AMV, like that's what comes into my head.
Thank you. Yeah. The one I submitted was the Keke Monogatari X Inuo AMV that I did. Got the two of them together, because they were both Science Saru, both in the same Heike period of time.
It does feel like they're made complementary to each other.
They were very complementary. And then I put it over System of a Down.
there's where you want. I think that they have like they don't want to scare the hose.
Like I was messing with the aspect ratios sometimes, which I think they have a rule about. They just have too many rules.
Yeah,
I think they just have too many rules, which I understand, because there have people been like annoying and. Or like they're just trying to be as official as possible without it being, you know, like this. None of this is a fucking official. Like, why do we have? Who cares if they have the fucking Kiss Anime logo? Like,
yeah,
you know. I just think they're.
I do talk to some people. Some people do like go out of their way to procure like the actual physical media. I was talking to some people. They did a. Oh fuck! What's the 70s anime that mixes, like, it's like a mecha show, but they're fighting like tokusatsu dinosaurs. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that one.
Like Flesh and the I don't know the Japanese name, but I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's like a Rescue Ranger thing where they look like firefighters, but it's stop motion dinosaurs. And
they like went out of their way to like get like the DVDs for that in order to make that AMV. I'm like, damn, that sounds way more work than
it good.
It was good. It was like one of the more fun AMVs. I'm gonna be honest. Every year I go to the AMV theater, I cringe. I cringe.
I kind of
so
died. You know, like that's the other thing. I ended up going that year to the one that I was submitting to. I'm like, okay, who beat me? Who actually got in?
Yeah.
And Jesus fuck.
No, because yeah, Gil and I did that last year. We had the same reaction, especially for like, because that was Gil's Sakura Taisen AMV that he did. Right. And we were like, yeah, how did that not get in? And I think it was because MF Doom is too edgy.
I don't know. No, I honestly think it could just be like manipulating the footage in some way that they don't like, that doesn't look, I don't know, official or something.
There was like no, like there's very, very little rap music I've noticed at least the Otakon.
Yeah,
it
has
like
the taste in music. Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I would describe a lot of the music that gets played as theater kid core.
Yeah,
as blunt and mean as possible.
Yep. Nope, you were right.
So I think it's like a vibe, because again, there's like over 1,000 people in the room, so you maybe don't want to alienate people by putting Have a Nice Life in an AMV, because that and people are gonna be like, what is this?
I guess
this doesn't make me feel good.
But there was like some like controversy with the AMV theater this year, I guess, because at like the awards ceremony
feedback panel thing.
Oh yeah, so I'll get to that in a second. But at the like contest like award ceremony, the guy who runs it, Vic, at the end, like after they've announced everything, basically comes on stage and announces that doesn't outright say it, but he more or less in so many words says that like the administration for Otakon, like the main people running the con, are basically like forcing him out of his position, and he does not know if there will be an AMV theater next year.
The heck?
Seemingly for like no like clear reasons that he like he kind of just alluded to like it being kind of like just some like internal drama between him and like the people running Otakon. Yeah, and I guess it's like I guess this is a thing that happens relatively often with convention staff, is like just like conflicts and stuff like that, and you know, just I don't know, a whole lot of bullshit.
Corporate.
He did say like I did see a post on Reddit of him basically saying, no, this is not because of like copyright issues with like Crunchyroll or anything. That's not why. And I wouldn't think Crunchyroll has a problem, because AX has a massive AMV theater event as well, and that's about as corporate as you could fucking get for an anime convention.
You never know with these people, because like the people running Crunchyroll now are like suits that are completely clueless. So like
that's
they,
true.
I could see them pulling some shit like that.
I could see,
and then the
I,
Japanese,
I
the
them,
Japanese holders would not fucking blink twice. They're like, yeah, please. Say less. Like literally, like, oh, advertising my show? Not if I can help it.
Doing what? My copyright IP and who? Music?
Yeah. No, get
fucked. Music. I've never heard of this
before.
Right,
no, get fucked.
But yeah, then they had like there's like the feedback session at the end of the convention where people come up and like ask questions. And I guess someone like asked about like, hey, what's going on with the AMV theater? And they gave the very diplomatic answer of, oh, you know, we're just constantly reviewing content. And it's like, oh, I understand. I understand. I can read between the lines. I get the subtext. This is some horseshit going on. So I'd be disappointed though if there wasn't an AMV. Because as much as I shit on it, I would be sad that if there's no AMV theater next year, or the people running it are basically like screwed over, because it is an event. It is like one of the biggest events at Otakon. that really a lot of people like and a lot of people enjoy. So
it'd
I don't
be
know
like
why.
One less like fan generated aspect of the con.
Yeah. You completely got something that a lot of people put a lot of time in. Like they like it's one of those things like cosplay and other anime adjacent activities that like kind of trumps watching anime for a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think not to be judgmental or anything, but I do think it's very possible to like get so deep and into a certain facet like this that you kind of do that more than you, not to like hoist watching anime as the number one thing, but like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
But like, what are we doing?
Like the
here?
Sort of like creative aspect. Yeah. People spend more time putting together like Gunpla stuff than maybe like watching like mecha anime.
Or had never even seen it. If you had never seen it, then that's one thing. And like, honestly, okay. But I don't know.
I mean, it happens with Gunpla a lot.
Yeah. But like, educate
and
yourself.
And there's also like
the... Come on, guys.
And then the other controversy with the con was their decision to not allow any vendors that were selling more than 75% 18 plus material at their stalls, which basically I was thinking, how do you calculate that?
Manga
Gamer was not there.
You know it when you see it, all right?
Yeah, right. No, that's the thing. I'm like, I know it when I see 75%.
Mm-hmm. Well, specifically because there's like, you know, companies like Manga Gamer, Faku, the Doujinshi stall that is like at every fucking convention I've been to. Like they weren't there. I think Media Blasters may not have been at Otakon this year as well, which is kind of insane. It was just a really weird policy on their part instead of like, I don't know, just put them all in the corner. Because like the problem with like last year, for anyone who wasn't at Otakon last year, the way you get into the dealer hall is you go down an escalator. And then last year, the first thing you saw when you got off that escalator was the Hendane Doujinshi stall with the fucking Dakimakura covers like pinned up in the back. And it's like, okay, yeah, maybe don't have them be the first thing that you see when you walk into the dealer hall.
Right.
Maybe put them in like their own like 18 plus section. Because they give you 18 plus wristbands. Just have people check for those.
Yeah, and they also, like, when I went to buy some, in those halls, there's these like big curtains, you know, have like walls for curtains or whatever, you can literally just wall it off.
I don't know what the fuck was going on. Hopefully that's like just a one-time thing, but if it ends up being a continuing trend, especially, and then also with like the AMV theater stuff and the weird cosplay restrictions, it's like, okay.
You're just like,
please do not shitify this convention, which is very easy for me to go to.
But like,
I still think it's like one of the best ones.
Yes.
Like basically like a yearly event for me.
Yeah.
Because it is run so well.
Right. I would say so too. I don't have that much reference. But I'm also saying like I understand where they're coming from because like there's kids here. And I'm not talking like teenagers.
No, yeah, like, no, the, people like people, whole like, families young, coming the, in.
People who are in their 30s that have children that still want to go to a convention, they bring their kids with them. And I mean like they're 3-year-old kids.
Yeah. And it's like,
I get it.
It's like, yeah, it shouldn't be just like, yeah, out in the open, like it has been in past years.
Right. But then you can't control cosplayers in that way. So
that is true.
Right. So you have to kind of like understand that what you're getting into, if you've ever been to a convention before, mm-hmm. maybe have like a disclaimer in the registration of like, look, there's a lot of people that go here and that is what you might see. This isn't just Halloween like, or something. Like they don't just dress up.
Put some like had study of for ages 13 and up or something. Like something that's like easily like, oh okay, this is not really intended for children. This is like kind of older kids.
Yeah.
I went to my first convention at like 10 or 11. Like,
yeah.
And that was before they even like started catering to kids at all.
Uh-huh. And I'm not saying to ban them at all. That's unfair to those kids as well, because I think those can be formative experiences and memorable things and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Especially because like so many kids are watching anime now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I don't know why I'm armchairing conventions when I'm very I'm very obviously a newcomer and everything. I'm just thinking about, like, you know, the preserving the culture, because, you know, this is this stuff means something to not just, you know, the teenagers that are in here from the pandemic, but guys who have been here since the 80s, the 90s.
Yeah, people have been going to Otakon. Like, there are probably people at this year's Otakon that went to the Otakon in the early 2000s. That was the first IRL 4chan meetup.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, the first 4chan,
but that would,
like,
have been
IRL meetup.
Late 2000s. Mid to late
2000s. Yeah, probably like mid to late 2000s. Yeah, well, or was it, I think it was 04. But still.
Yeah, 04, like, or 5, like.
But yeah,
that's just a crazy little, like, detail. I'm like, holy fucking shit. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Of all things.
Like, before that, no one knew if Moot was a real person or not.
Nah, it's, I understand where they're coming from, and the concerns and everything like that. And I just think you have to be smart about it. It's sort of like what we're doing with scouting, where there are certain sketches and skits and things that we did culturally that were a lot of fun, but in certain lights and circumstances would be considered hazing, you know?
Okay. Oh, I see.
Right. So for example, like
Boy Scout Eagle Scouting.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of skits that it was fun to include water in them, and, like, splashing, the punchline was that they get splashed with water or whatever. And, you know, the person in the skit would obviously know that it's happening and would consent to it and everything like that. But the appearance of it and the way it looks and stuff like that, is something that's just completely barred now. But it ended, but it cuts a lot of, like, potentially really fun gags and stuff.
Different
skits or whatever. And we can't do that anymore. But then you don't replace it with anything. You know, a lot of this, like, sanding down the rough edges, a lot of it makes sense, but you're not replacing it with anything. You know, you're not creating a different channel. You're stifling it. And I just don't see it being sustainable in that way, because otherwise I think, it kind of just, like, dumbs it down. It just makes it worse. It dilutes it.
I am just disconnected from, I guess, whoever the target demographic for conventions are now.
That's the thing, we don't really, it's so broad. Like, it could be just so many different ages. Yeah.
What's broad, it's, I think the problem is that it is broad, but it is not super deep. At least a lot of the ones I've been to. Obviously, I've never been to Otakon.
I feel like there's, like, different cons also attract different crowds. Like, my impression of Otakon is it attracts more of, like the fan side of things. People look, like, more dedicated. A lot more old heads, as opposed to, like, an ANYC or an AX, especially.
Yeah. I just kind of got to a point where I was like, I would rather spend the money and just go to Japan than
go to Japan.
It's basically just like a giant convention.
It's not
itself.
Similar.
Okay, so it's
your
weird
country
it's
is
not,
my.
It's weird because they're not similar. But, like, I don't know, since I've been to, like, little fan, like, pop-up stores or, like, cafes and stuff like that, and, like, actually, like, engaged with it on that level there, like, conventions just don't hit the same. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know.
The convention, I think the utility of a convention is community and like, being able to go there and meet up with people you haven't seen, like, either online in IRL for the first time, like we did at this convention, right? I think that was definitely the highlights of this convention, is seeing people that I hadn't seen in person before. Last time I went to Otakon in 2021, that was when I saw Jack, Kor, Eden, and Hiding for the first time. I think Jaws might have also been there. A couple others, I'm sorry, I forgot. I think may have been there too. A couple YouTubers and stuff that I talked for years. And finally got to see him in person. And, like, that's a really special thing. It's not necessarily the, like, I agree. Like, if you want stuff, like, if you want anime CDs, just go to Japan. I mean, it's a tall ask, it's easier to get them if in a convention, like, you know, an hour away from you than an entire day of flying, a red eye flight, you know, whatever.
That's the thing for me is like Otakon is like in the area. So I'm like, okay, well, that's just easy to go to.
Yeah.
For me.
Right. Like, if I guess for me, like when I went to conventions as a kid, like a lot of it was like the access to anime.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, I've not seen
what's that?
Shaman
what's
King
that?
Shit right. before. Like, right. what the fuck yeah. is this?
Right.
Whereas like now there's not really that utility to it.
No.
It's more community driven in a sense of like,
yeah,
not even the AMV or like fan generated content sense, just in the like, I'm going to go here. It's an excuse to meet up with people.
It is. Yes. Like, and like have dinner with
if
them
you're going
stuff.
Like for me as someone that would go like the last one I went to, I literally just went by myself with a friend. Like I already know, like, you know, we didn't
right.
meet up with
well,
anybody.
Yeah, do
like,
stuff together. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just like, there's not really, anything. There's no interesting panels.
There is some stuff like that still where, Wilson, what was that Yuri Fish Girl show that we saw?
Oh, it's This Monster Wants to Eat Me. That was pretty good.
Yeah, like that, like because there aren't really conventions like this in Japan, so we basically just got to watch like the first episode of that show before literally anyone else, including in Japan. So there are things like that.
Like,
but that's also
premieres,
like
special screenings,
yeah,
guests.
That's restricted to like the biggest conventions, though. In terms of like a lot of the smaller ones, it's like that is not as much of a thing because
I mean, like DC as a city is pretty nice just to visit too. Like it's just like it's an excuse to go to DC and like go to the Smithsonian.
What are you talking about? It's like the most dangerous city in America. Have you been watching the news?
Not anymore.
So
the streets are filled with
The streets are like the weekend after the couple days after we were there. So crazy. Like I was just there. Wild.
There's my gum on the sidewalk.
Yeah, no,
it was interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it was interesting, like going to Comic Con and seeing like the difference, because like Comic Con is purely like merchandise, right? It's purely fan driven, like you're going to these booths to buy. Yeah,
it's just one big artist alley, basically.
There is like zero like
promotional
meeting up and like hanging out with your friend or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you try to do that and you're like you'll get run over essentially.
Yeah, because you were like, fucking, come on, keep walking.
I gotta go to this booth. What are you doing?
There are like 300,000 people here.
They do have like little like sit down areas that like taped off for people that are like getting, was it woozy or whatever? Because
exhaustion.
Like people.
Yeah.
And then like cosplay, like photo areas. But
it was interesting to like see that compared to like, because that's what conventions were, is like they were very community driven in that way, where it was like,
and especially in like people early days when like we were saying, like you were saying earlier, the accessibility to this stuff was way more limited, again pre torrenting being strong enough to send video files over. So there was stuff you literally could not have seen unless you were sent it or through the grapevine someone recorded it on TV, you know, the what they describe as the VHS days, right? I have as an episode of the Anime Business that will come out sometime in the future. You know, we haven't scheduled it yet. With Jerry Beck, who is the co-founder of Streamline Pictures. And he talks about being one of those guys that asked for some of the giant robot shows that for whatever reason got picked up by some random local New York station or something. Like, some of them would play like Mazinger or Getter or like whatever, some of the old 70s giant robot stuff. And so he would have those 16mm films, like film canisters, and he would show that at conventions. And that's where you would see that stuff for the first time, you know, because there was no way you could have heard about it or whatever, or rumors or something. But like actually getting to see this stuff. And I always find that very interesting. But now screenings, it's just like, I haven't seen Silent Voice in a while. Sure.
Sure. I'm going to watch it.
It's just an excuse to watch
Sasuke
stuff again.
Playing. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was William Chalo was talking about how they used to just play like Project Aiko.
Exactly.
On repeat, like a lot of conventions.
They still have like those screening rooms at cons.
They do. That's the thing they do. And what they function as now is excuses to rewatch something that you hadn't seen previously.
Or you have like time to kill. So that's a place you can go hang out.
Things you'd already seen that you hadn't seen in a while and you just want to kind of like, yeah, I love Silent Voice. I'll watch it for the sixth time, you know, or whatever.
That's for the theater experience more so than just being introduced.
As opposed to like, this is like unseen footage of the 70s Doraemon anime.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
right?
I'm going to go watch Angel's Egg in theaters, but it's not the first time. It's not even like the eighth time.
No,
probably
right.
Someone's first time when it comes to theater.
Well, that'll be fun. I actually kind of want to see if it... Are they dubbing it?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Why not?
I have no idea.
Like, that makes complete sense to me. You only have to... It would take one session.
There's like already very little dialogue to dub.
It'd be so
easy.
It's a
40-minute movie.
I was surprised that they fucking... G-Kids dubbed Inuo, because I was like... How?
Oh, yeah. No, it was funny
going, half that movie is just a concert film.
One of the only other things I did at the con, actually, we had our North American premiere of Sasuke, which had never legally been brought over here before. It's obviously on the internet archive or whatever. It shouldn't be now. I think my boss probably took it down by now. we got there, and this is what we saw, the advertising, the poster for it.
What? Why?
I mean, it's kind of working for me.
Yeah, it is. But
I would just show the dog blowing up. Come on, that's all you need to do.
We should have shown that episode in particular, I guess. We ended up doing like episode one and a couple of maybe. Like, it was like a 2-hour thing, so they probably showed like the first 6 episodes or something. No, but... and we also didn't show the dub. I was like, dub or sub, Justin? And he's like, the sub. The dub's awful. I'm like, but like, no one's seen the dub. Like, I don't know. Not to push.
Literally,
I didn't push back on him at the time. But I'm thinking, like, why wouldn't we show the dub, even if it's trash?
Show the dub, hand out spoons at the door, and just turn it into like a room situation.
Fucking screening of the room.
Yeah.
Do that with like those like...
I haven't even heard it yet myself, actually. I ended up watching it raw, like for the trailer I made. I watched the whole show without subtitles because they were still being made at the time. But yeah. So I still haven't seen the show with like in English. Good.
You've been watching a lot of anime lately, haven't you?
Yeah. Not so much right now. Not so much right now. The closest I could say is technically raw, but it's not, is Candy. Because the subs are not subs are not good. They're kind of like, I think they're machine TL, a lot of grammatical shit. And then these past 20 or so episodes, they like desync over a period of time to where like they're very early. The timing is trash on them. So, I mean, it's something, but they're not great. They're really not good subs, which is unfortunate.
I say that because I searched Koji Koji on Twitter, and you're like one of only like 5 people that have posted about
Hell
Koji
yeah.
Koji.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're watching just this raw. All right.
Yeah. I wanted to, because if you ever see that OP, it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Or the ED is, and the ED is also like really weird and funny. But then like, if you ever, my first exposure to it was like some Sakugaboru clip, you know, like some art Sakuga posted it or something. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it blew my mind. And the first episode is the only one that looks like that. And it's only like the first couple of cuts. It's really crazy and ambitious. And then the rest of the show is like, it's literally Chibi Maruko-chan, but like,
it's just Chibi Maruko-chan.
It's fantasy Chibi Maruko-chan.
It's Chibi Maruko-chan meets Tiny Toon Adventures. That's what it is.
Yeah. And apparently it's all dubbed. Or at least some episodes are dubbed in English.
Mm,
the first episode is, at the very least. And it's weird. Because there's like a whole YouTube channel.
Well, the first episode's subbed on YouTube and by ARR.
That's right.
And then like, that's it. I think I saw that there was a dub.
That's what it was.
Like a Chinese dub?
There is an English dub. It is in English, and it's like a 2-hour batch of like a couple random episodes. It's not great. It was like, I probably wouldn't watch it that way personally. But it exists, at least, you know. But yeah, that
I was,
it was, yeah.
I was introduced to it from one of those like random like interviewers on the street YouTubers.
Oh.
And they go up to someone and they're just like, they're like asking them like, what's overrated, what's underrated, and what's your favorite, whatever. This guy, they go to this guy, he's like, what's overrated? You'll love this. He's like, oh, One Piece.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's like, what's underrated? And he's like, oh, a summer ranking. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, I kind of like this is going. And he's like, what's your favorite? He's like, Koji Koji. I'm like, what?
What?
I immediately go look it up. I'm like, this is based as hell. What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
Wilson, what was your favorite part of Otakon?
I wanted to mention, actually, Otakon had a big change this year where they changed the way they do autographs. So previously in Otakon Autograph, it was a very chaotic but kind of weirdly invigorating experience. So what you would do, right, is that they would have an autograph like block where it'd be like, oh, we're going to have autographs for this person, say Hiroshi Kamiya, right, at 2 p.m. And there's a section in between the dealer's hall and the artist's alley that you like line up at in order to get to the autograph. But the problem is that they didn't want people like blocking the way or lining up early. But obviously you're like incentivized to line up early, right? So you would do this weird thing where you would pretend to be going to Artist Alley or Dealer's Hall and you just walk back and forth pretending that you're not actually there just to like snipe the autograph area. And then finally, when 2 o'clock hit, right, and they would yell out like, autographs, so who's here for Hiroshi Kamiya, there would be like a surge of over to the autograph area and you would have this like huge mound of people just like disorganized waiting in the wings, and then they would like say, okay, who's here for this person, who's here for this person, have you wait a little bit longer, and then eventually they would say, okay, form a line. Obviously no one ever forms a line, it's just like this like huddled mass that you kind of just have to like sneak your way through if you want to get a good position. And then you would eventually like get into like a longer line and then you would get your autograph, right? So it's like kind of unfair and fair at the same time for whatever reason. I mean, on one hand, obviously if you're like slow or like if you showed up late, you wouldn't get your, you'd have no chance, right? But everyone just kind of had like an equal opportunity, kind of. But it was always very chaotic. It was always a lot of yelling from the staff. There's this one guy in particular who he seems over it every year. So this year they changed it up and they kind of switched over to a more like Anime Central style where openings would open in guidebook and you would have to like sit there on your phone and wait till the exact moment it like ticked over to like 9 a.m. and then like snipe it. I'm just wondering what you guys think. Is this a better solution? Is this would you prefer the chaos of the previous
implementation? Well, I don't do signatures. It's like I'm not really an autograph person is the thing, so I've never I don't know, it's just not really like something
it's interesting because like it's fun to get the autograph and it's fun, like it's kind of like a highlight of the day, like you build up to it, but I find that once I get the autograph I like put the thing on my shelf and then I never look at it again, right? Like it's like but I don't know, like part of the fun of cons is this kind of unique opportunity to meet the people that are behind your like favorite creations. So it's valuable in that way. I mean, lately I've been like learning how to speak Japanese, right? Mm-hmm. So when some Japanese guests would come, I've been trying to talk to them in Japanese, just like very briefly, like, I don't know, just like, hey, how are you? Are you enjoying the city? Who's Akio Watanabe? He was the character designer for the Kizu movies. Mm-hmm. I told him in broken Japanese that his designs were so beautiful they made me burst into tears, and he got a good chuckle out of that.
I just
see them on the street and I harass them for a picture. That's how I got that picture with Sushio and Hiroaki Arai. So I saw him on the street and I was like, let me take a fucking picture with you.
I'm
only familiar with autograph, like general autograph lines that like it's not necessarily connected to a panel in what you're describing. I've only experienced conventional, like this guest is here. They're doing signatures at this period of time. Here's the line. Make it the, you know, if that's all they're doing type of deal.
Yeah.
So there's a higher chance that you'll actually get something. You'll just have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just familiar with that. And I have gotten, I've only done it twice. I did one for Toshio Furukawa, who's the voice actor for Ace, Piccolo, Ataru Moroboshi from Urusei Yatsura, and you know, other popular stuff. He's a really prolific voice actor. And I love his shit. And I was able to get Urusei Yatsura DVD, or that was like an original Animego one back before. This was before we re-released it on Blu-ray. So I got like an episode. I got a cover with that had more Ataru on the cover, and I had him sign that one, which was exciting because, you know, he didn't really get that character very often over here. This was like 2018, I think, when I did this, or 2017, mm-hmm. And you know, everyone was there for his character in One Piece or his characters in Dragon Ball, voices fucking Piccolo. That everyone would kind of come to him for the same thing. So for him to see like something like that, he actually took a picture of that cover of that DVD. And tweeted it out afterwards. He's like, "Oh, I'm actually really surprised that someone was able to recognize me for this role." Type of deal. That was awesome. I also happened to show him like on my phone, because I obviously at the time, again, couldn't find anything LOGH related on the floor. Mention whatever to for him to sign. So I just kind of showed him the picture on my phone of him play his character Poplon, and he's like, "Oh, Ginga Au Densetsu." So, you know, that was sick. That's my experience with that sort of thing with signing stuff.
You know, it's great.
I have literally gotten one like. I've gotten like autographs and then like just lost them. The only autograph I still have is the fucking voice actor for Gurr's autograph.
Nice.
I have a thing that was it's like it's not a full art book. It's like an art book preview or whatever that like I didn't get it signed by Yoshitoshi Abe. I bought it like I guess he was
yeah,
like
I bought that too.
Yeah, because like I guess he was like
copy.
Signing them. Yeah, because well, I guess he was like signing like them for an event or whatever, right, and then yeah. Had like a bunch of like leftover ones that basically, I don't know, like the guy that I was talking to basically said like, yeah, just like, I don't know, I just like picked him up and he was like selling them at OhioCon a number of years ago. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I have it like sitting over there on my shelf.
I remember you posted that. I got that too.
Yeah, it's good. It's cool.
It's a cool book.
I think that's the only signed thing I can think of off the top of my head that I own.
Oh, wow. I have a lot of signed things.
You have a lot of signed stuff?
I think I go to like Asen and Otakon pretty regularly, and those are like pretty big international conventions. Like,
I would have been interested in getting something signed by Hiroshi Kamiya if he wasn't only there to sign Togenanki stuff.
Togenanki? You didn't know, want a Togenanki?
The hip new show of the season, Togenanki. I didn't even watch the first episode of the movie. Didn't you? You watched it and you're like, we're not watching this.
What was that again? Hold on.
I have no idea. Awesome. I wasn't edgy. There for it.
So one of my friends, they missed the one that we went to where he was there with the dub actors, Kerry Walsh and stuff, and she wanted to see him, right? So they did a more dedicated Togenanki panel later where he was going to be at, and the way she was describing it was just that they made us sit through episode 5, which was just released, and then we got like a exclusive screening of episode 6, and she's just sitting there having to watch this thing that she's never seen. Is that questionable?
I watched the first
quality
episode. It was not good.
Like, of all the things, like, Hiroshi Kamiya is like one of the most prolific voice actors of all time. So the fact that he was only there to sign stuff for this one specific thing was kind of crazy. I mean, it's cool that he was here. It's his first, like, you know, appearance outside of Japan, but it was also like, God damn it. Fuck.
Should have went just to ask him. his opinion on having to sign only Shohei.
Yeah. Oh, come on. You know, he's PR savvy. He's a
professional.
Yeah. Then with Imigi Muru, who's the character designer for Losing Heroines and Lycoris Recoil, I think was only there to promote Losing Heroine stuff. So I was like, I mean, that's cool. I haven't finished Losing Heroines because seeing Lemon on screen melts my brain, but that's cool.
The very first thing I got signed is I was at Anime Matsuri like a really long time ago, before I knew about its proclivities, and the Trigger were there, and I didn't have anything for them to sign. I was like frantically searching, so I found like this like random Kill la Kill art book, which was like full of the Genga, and brought it over to them. At the time, I thought it was expensive. It was like $40, but was able to meet Imaishi, and they doodled like a little doodle of Mako on the inside cover. It was really great.
Oh, that's
nice.
I
like, went home and I looked up how much it actually cost. It was like $100 and they don't print it anymore. So I got a steal.
God damn.
And yeah. And like, ever since then, I've got like so many actually.
I knew that. Like, sorry, go.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know last year, Hiroshi Nagahama was at Otakon signing stuff, but he wasn't signing stuff. Instead, he was doing just like, there was like a line, and for each person, he was just doing like a drawing for them.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
That's very common.
Especially in the context he was talking about working on Uzumaki and how a fucking like drawing all the spirals made his hand hurt. It was also funny because that Otakon, this is like before Uzumaki came out, and he did a panel. And he was like, do not ask me any questions about Uzumaki. I will not answer. Yeah. Like, oh, that now I know why. Because you were on episode one. Fuck. Oh, God damn it. No.
I still have that rated as a good because of how good episode one was.
I didn't hate the rest of it. I was at least more
either.
So like,
I thought it's not like they, it's not like they adapted it in a like false way of like, oh, you completely didn't even adapt it at all. Like, it was pretty faithful adaptation. The music was still great. The voice acting was still great. It's just disappointing. It's just too bad that they locked my boy out of the studio. Didn't let him fucking finish.
Just let him cook. God damn it.
I can't believe
it. They can fucking make, did you see that fucking Lord of the Rings anime movie?
Rohim? No.
No, it was made in an even more roundabout way where it was like, The way that movie was animated, it cost like $30 million to make, which is fucking ridiculous for an anime film. But the way they made it was they motion captured it into Unreal Engine, and they didn't, it's not like they then rotoscoped over that motion capture into Unreal. They used it as a reference point.
Yeah.
So it's just like, again, what are we, God damn it. God damn it. It would have been so cool if just the whole all of Uzumaki was like that, though.
I can see his problem with the suits, though. It's like, I want to do this really roundabout, abstract way of like animating something. It's like, why? Oh, look. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, if only Uzumaki was a bordering on money laundering project, so a studio could keep the film rights to a certain property. If only.
If only.
That's why that fucking Lord of the Rings movie was made. It's kind of fucked up, honestly.
Yeah,
Otakon was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
It was cool meeting everyone. I met up with some people from Trixie's old server. I met up with some people. I mean, and then the other people I met up with from the fucking our anime awards server. They were all cool too. It's cool to go and meet people. I think I've met someone, or I went to someone at basically every Otakon I've gone to. I think the first one I went to, I met Kai Clear and Sweet and some people from the Anime Summit podcast. Last year I went with Gil and some other friends, and then this year I met all these people.
Yeah.
Someone met me. That's kind of crazy.
Ah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I have not met you in person.
To be fair, I don't think anybody except for like a handful
of
people.
No one's met you.
Yeah, a few people.
I mean, I've met like two people from online.
Hmm.
Not a very sociable person. Despite what this you might assume from my podcast persona. I don't like to leave my house.
it's actually really hard because it'd be like, hey, Moomy, this movie is coming out in theaters. We should go watch it in theaters. And he's like, I don't want to. It's like, you're going to love the movie. Any like I we know, we both know, just go fucking like spend a Friday night outside of your bedroom minutes. For once.
Listen, there's 20 minutes away. You don't understand.
You don't understand. Yeah, there any other like big Otakon highlights that I can think of? I think so. That was basically it for me.
Yeah,
you say it was worse.
Did you what'd you buy?
I did. Oh.
I do remember you double fisting some bags multiple times.
I spent so much money. I posted pictures on Twitter of everything that I bought. So I guess I'll just like prattle that off real quick. And then Price of Right style, what we'll do is leave a comment. If you already fucking know, do not guess how much money I've spent. But if you do not, leave a comment guessing how much all of this is. Where the fuck was it? Oh god, it's like
just don't look on Twitter, so you'll get the answer.
Well, I mean, I didn't post it like how much I spent on Twitter. I just posted like
clearly
everything
you weren't
that
spending
I bought
on Twitter.
No,
like how see. Much okay, I spent so, on Twitter, like as in like spent money on Twitter.
I pay for the what this like what's like the $50 a month right, like blue yeah, check mark. Yeah. So I got two of these 30-minute sister, like, kind of, like, they're, like, Gunpla things that you can put together. They're cute. I got a copy of Kodacha, some Kodacha episodes on VHS. I got a copy of the Higurashi fighting game. I got a little Satsuki plush. I bought the aforementioned things from the Discotheque panel. So got a Kukuri, Cleopatra, and the two Kodacha volumes on Blu-ray. I bought five different H manga. Like tankobons. I bought three different anime figures, some anime TV guides, two Dakimakura covers, Planetes OST on CD. I bought a cute Balzette alcohol flask. And then I also got from the Artist Alley, I got a really cool blanket. I got three like Blue Archive acrylic stands. I went to four different like artist like stands and selling prints, and I bought like three or four prints from each of them, and then I bought three wall scrolls, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Is this like a typical con expenditure situation?
I definitely spent more this year, but I definitely like. I spend an amount at cons, mostly just because, well, it's more so just because, like, I live in D.C. and Otakon is right there. So it's very easy for me to just, like, buy stuff and then haul it back if need be. Whereas if, like, I was coming in from out of town and it's just like, yeah, no, especially because then I would have to factor in, like, hotel cost and traveling and all that stuff. So for me, it's like I'm not really... The only other thing that I'm spending money on at the con is like the cost of the badge, and I get in early, so that's already pretty cheap. And then food, I guess. And just fucking go to McDonald's or whatever, eat cheap. So yeah, that's just like that's where all my money fucking goes. And this is like the only event. This is now just me like trying to justify myself. Like, I'm not insane. Okay. Listen, I don't spend money on like anything. Fucking
I cannot buy stuff at commit. Like I can buy like prints and like art prints and stuff. I've bought like some Zelda ones or something. Just stuff that you're not going to get online or whatever, or like a buttons or something, like just cheap shit. But like, I can't buy like figures and official merch there because I'm just like,
well, I mean, you can't it for a while there, up until recently, you could just get figures much cheaper online. I don't know if that's the case anymore with the fucking tariffs.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. There's also just like cool stuff that like I wouldn't think to buy unless I'm there, like the fucking like Higurashi fighting game. I'm not gonna go like out of my way to like buy that. So that's something I see on the shelf and I'm like
the impulse buy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I got here with a few of those in Japan where it's like a little like gachapon, like a Char Aznable figure or fucking Prism Ilya or not just Ilya from Fates Day Night, like Nendoroi Petite or something, like, or the fucking Zvezda whatever the fuck that is, the 2013 anime, like I got a prize figure.
Once I get on that like impulse buying high, it just kind of like persists and I'm just like go, all right, I'm spending money, I gotta get those credit card points. Okay,
I got that out of my system because like when I impulse bought shit in Japan, when I brought it back, I'm like, I don't know why I bought this.
I gotta figure out like where I have to put all this stuff. I have all these prints and I need to get frames for them now and figure out what I'm gonna do with these wall scrolls.
$3. Yeah, I'm like $2, whatever. But like, it doesn't look good anywhere. I don't really have a place I want to put it. Like, why did I get this? I just feel nothing but regret.
I don't really have buyer's remorse anymore. I'm mostly just kind of like, it was really funny. My dad has a very interesting perspective on all this because like I was also like sitting in pictures of like all the stuff that I was buying. And you would usually expect like a parent to be like, you should be more responsible with your money. But my dad is just like, these are investments. Okay. These are all going to be worth a lot more money someday. I'm just like, thank you for understanding, kinda, in a weird materialistic way. All right. I mean, that's better than some other attitudes.
I mean, maybe like, it's hard.
He's not wrong. At least some of the stuff will be like worth more. Especially like
some
like
of
figures
it.
Tend to go up in price. Not so much like prints or wall scrolls per se.
It's hard. Yeah. That's like unofficial, just fan printed stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I like this artist and I want to give them money.
Yeah. It's hard. Cause like figures and stuff, I generally will go up because they will be about to print. They're not going to be being produced anymore, whatever.
Yeah.
People will get into it. And then like, you'll the supply to demand obviously like shifts. Other stuff I'm not sure, and then like I don't know where the cap is, right? So like JoJo figures as an example right now, mm-hmm. selling for like $120. I don't know if they keep going up. Like some of them I know went up to like $200-$300 if they were like event exclusives or whatever.
Oh,
not even including like mm-hmm. the Swarovski fucking or clear figures or whatever, they're like $500 at the convention. but just like the regular figures that like come out and like are produced, they can go up. I don't know if it's worth buying some when they are at like $120, like if you're actually wanting like a turnaround in investment, because like it's like, I don't know, at that point it might go up to 200 or it might go down to like the 60 or whatever, and then you like halved your money essentially. It's weird. I definitely would not recommend anybody buying anything as an investment. That's anime.
What are you talking about? No, this is a financial podcast. What are you talking about?
All right, no, it is not. Do not listen James, to whatever any James, financial advice.
We've been going for like almost 4 hours now.
This has been a nice convo. It's just been nice. Nostalgic because I just feel very detached from the community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of it is about Otakon.
Oh, it'll be fine. This will be like 90 minutes, like a 90 minute episode that goes up on like
a chunk of hour from
enough.
Yeah,
we were all there except Mumi.
Right. Except Mumi. Yeah, fuck you, Mumi.
We'll fix the editing. We'll cut me out completely.
Cut you out completely. Come to Otakon next year, Mumi. All right, square the fuck up. If you're a fucking man, you'll come to Otakon next year. You little pussy bitch.
I'm actually glad I didn't